living the abundant life. We all live to live the best that we can. There's a song or a statement going out that's going around that says, what is it, living my life like it's golden. It's been around for a while, and we live life to get the most out of life that we can. And so I want to talk to you about this morning a little bit about what that entails. Jesus says in John chapter 10, verse 9, he says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I want to talk to you about Jesus' plan for your abundant life. But I need to set the stage a little bit and get you to thinking about where you are as if you're not already thinking about it. Every person here today have their own story. No matter what your age, you have arrived at this point one step at a time. And those steps are literally each day that has passed by since you were born. When you look back over those days, you'll find that there's been good days and there's been bad days. Sometimes the days were days of celebration over what you had gained. Other times those days were days of sorrow and recovery from a loss that you had experienced. We can all relate to that. We would all like to come out ahead as our days roll by. But sometimes we'd be happy just to break even. The preacher says over in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 1, to every day there's a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. And so we will have good days and bad days. But he goes on to say in verse 6, there's a time to get and a time to lose. There's a time to keep, and there's a time to cast away. Folks, let me hold out to you that all the things that he's saying there boils down to this. Don't measure your happiness by what you can get here on earth. Don't measure your life by the money or the power or whatever you can acquire here on this earth, because it all is given and will all be taken away one day. To say that we live in an ongoing struggle is, well, actually, frankly, stating the obvious. There are times when we find ourselves asking, where is it all leading to? The circumstances that I'm speaking about to you this morning is simply life. I'm not going way out there to find something strange. I'm talking about the life that you live from day to day, the ups and downs that you experience, the good times and the bad times, the pain and the happiness. All of that goes into making up this life that we're living right now. That's just the way it is. And that's the way it's going to be as long as we're on this, the time side of life. But Jeremiah tells us that we don't have to worry about how things work out if we just manage to get ourselves on the right side. On Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, Jeremiah says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. To make life the best that it can be, we need help from the one who gives the abundant life. You see, the reason I'm saying that is because we get so caught up in accomplishing our own stuff, we think that we're responsible for the good stuff that happens to us. We're not. Because just like when those bad days came and you couldn't do anything about them, you can't do anything about the good ones that come either. They all come as a part of this life that we live, and God sustains us through both the good and the bad times. Praise God for his mercy. Praise God for his being aware of who I am on a daily basis. The frustrated people find themselves saying, there's got to be something more to life than this. And so I'm here today, and I will happily and consolingly tell you that there is so much more than we meet on a daily basis. That's good news. See, Jesus states clearly that his purpose for coming was so that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. Jesus came to earth knowing exactly what was going to happen from the day that he came to the day that he went back, but he stayed on mission. He came to give us a life that's more abundant. But not everyone is enjoying as much of the abundant life as they potentially could because there are joy thieves trying to take away the abundance of the life that could be theirs. There are things out there that can take your joy away. You can have some joy that's all lined up and reserved for you, and you can miss out on it because of the joy thieves that exist in the world today. In chapter 9 of John, we find circumstances leading up to our chosen scripture for today's lesson. It's a familiar story, one that we've heard preached many times, and it involves a man that was born blind. As Jesus and his disciples were walking along, the disciples saw the man who had been blind from birth. And so this prompted the question from the disciples. They asked Jesus this question. And the question is not at all strange when you think about it. In fact, I would say that it was a question that reflects the typical thinking of the average person when you see someone in a condition like that. You know, we face it every day. When we drive down there, y'all may not have it as much down here as we got it in Nashville, but you can't go past the corner of Nashville if somebody's not sitting out with a sign for asking you for money because they're in a situation that they're in. And it's hard to pass by because you don't know who needs help and who doesn't. And there's a lot of them out there that's turned it into a business. And so if you give help to everybody on every corner, then the very next corner is going to find you on it with a sign. But when we pass these people, it is natural for us to ask ourselves, what did they do to get there? Why are they standing on this? Have you ever seen the one that says, every little thing helps? Anything helps? I saw a guy stood on the same corner for 3 years with the same sign that said, anything help? And every time I looked at his sign, I said, must not. Because you're still standing here. And you ain't been helped in 3 years. You apparently ain't. But the fact of it was, he's having a big, fine new car and living in a big, fine home. He just made a business out of it. But when we find people in a bad situation, we ask the question, did they do something to put themselves there? See, first people want to know why something bad happened to someone. And then they want to know if they're deserving of their plight because of some guilty deed that they committed. But in John chapter 9 and verse 1, Jesus answers that question. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither have this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God may be made manifest. Let me tell you something. You know some of those hard times you went through? God planned those. God put some hard times in your way so you could look for him. So you could, because you see, as long as we think we're doing it ourselves, we're going to not turn to God. We're not going to turn to God. But have you ever noticed what happens when things get out of control? We turn to God. First thing we do is call up somebody and have them pray for me. I'm praying over here all I can, but my prayer may not be getting there. Call somebody else and help them. We turn to God. And God sometimes sends us difficulties to remind us that he's still there. And then sometimes he lets us just roll on. He lets us just rock on and roll on. And so he's that kind of God who has mercy on us all the time. The fact is that when we see a situation that is tragic by our estimation, we tend to rationalize that someone did something to bring it about and that somehow they deserve it. So therefore, it's not our responsibility. We can more easily dismiss someone's tragic situation in life if we determine that it was their ill intent that was responsible for landing them in that situation. The question that they asked Jesus was, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? You see how we think? It had to be because somebody did something wrong. Job faced that, didn't he? Job went through all these trials and tribulations, and his friend said, you must have done something for God to be doing. But God had a greater intent. They asked Jesus, who did sin? Was it this man or his parents? That he was born blind. But Jesus made short work of what could potentially have become a doctrinal issue for the ages. The fact is that we can't obligate God to extend nor withhold his grace. Not everything that we do bad will bring instant punishment, nor everything that we do will bring instant reward. Matthew chapter 5, verse 45 tells us, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. That's grace, y'all. That's mercy. Isn't he a good God? You know, because if the only time we got his blessings or when we did good, we go out sometime. There's a lot of our loved ones who'd be hurting right now if the only time that God blessed us was when we did good. God keeps on blessing us over and over again. Jesus confirmed that it was done so that God's power could be made manifest. Jesus asserted that there was a specific assignment given to him and to his followers, and there was a limited amount of time which to complete those tasks. Jesus said, night is coming when no one can work. That's a message we need to share with all of our loved ones. You might be having a good time right now, but night's going to fall sooner or later. And you may want to stop and place yourself where you want to be while you can. Because no one has a contract on time. And no one knows when their last breath will occur. And so we need to encourage each other. Let's stay together. Let's get it together and keep it together all the time. Well, after making mud with his spittle and applying it to the blind man's eyes, He told him to go and wash in the pool of Siloam. The man came away seeing. And as a result, the man had a quality of life that he had never known before. Remember now, he was born blind. That day was the first day that he saw anything. See, the things that you're struggling to get in life are all controlled by God. Whatever your greatest wish is right now, God has it. He can give it. It belongs to God. All the things that you are struggling to have is already under God's control. The road to those things become long and frustrating when a person tries to accomplish them apart from God. See, God is a loving Father who wants good things for his children. Jesus sets that out in Luke chapter 11 and verse 11. In Luke 11 and verse 11, Jesus says, if a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If then, and the answer to those were obvious, we know that no good father would do that, not even an earthly father. But Jesus goes on to make it clear to him. He said, if then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? You see, a lot of times we hurt ourselves by trying to do it ourselves. We hurt ourselves by excluding God from our lives. We hurt ourselves by living our lives for ourselves and not living it for him, because the more we give our lives to him, the more life he gives back to us. Being able to see opened up a whole new world to the blind man that had never been available to him before. Jesus not only said it, but he demonstrated that he indeed had come to give life more abundantly. And this was an earthly demonstration of an eternal promise. If Jesus was in charge of earthly sight, then it becomes easier to believe that he's also in control of eternal life. See, when someone fails to embrace the conditions that are called for in order to have a relationship with Christ, they're actually living beneath the privilege of the abundant life that comes only with Christ. Those people who don't live for Christ are living the hardest life. Those people who don't follow Christ are living the hardest life. If you love someone, put them on the easy path. Put them on the easy track. Help them to find Jesus, because Jesus is the giver of abundant life. Sometimes individuals block their own blessings. Individuals will block their own blessings. Sometimes their disbelief robs them of the abundant life. When the neighbors that knew the previously blind man saw him, they didn't want to believe that this man's life could have changed so drastically for the better. The same thing occurs when a sinner tries to change. Often they're met with discouragement from those who knew him in their past life. They think that it must be true that misery loves company. But for those who are willing to go through the challenges of walking in the newness of life, you'll often find yourself as a lifeline to those who never considered the possibility of a new life for themselves. You know, we find it hard to picture, but there are people out there that just don't believe there's a new life for them to live out there. We have people who are so steeped, who've been in sin so long, who believe that the only life that there is the one that they're living, and they have resigned themselves to living a doomed life from this point forward. They don't think that a new life, they need somebody to show them. And nobody does that better than someone who's been out there. You know, I've talked to people, I've been amazed by people who've looked at me and said, I've never done this, and I've never done that, and I've never been the other, and so forth. And I look at them and say, wow, you don't have no story to tell then, do you? I said, because I've been there, and I've done it, and I can tell somebody who's going through it what they're going to run into if they keep on. We need to help people find the newness of life that only Christ can give. If you're a fairly new Christian, or perhaps an older Christian, that's still struggling with your old life, and you need to seek Christ, and try to understand that there are a lot of people in your situation. But understand also that patience and perseverance will win out. If you're having a hard time being a Christian, that's legal. That's all right. Keep on trying, though. Don't give up just because you didn't succeed the first time. Don't give up because you haven't broken all the bad habits that you once had. Keep trying. Get rid of them one at a time. You got a lifetime of bad acquisitions that you need to get rid of the same way you got them, one day at a time. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 3, Paul says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life." See, the blind man was taken before the Pharisees in question. He was accused of some sort of trickery and collaboration with Jesus, but the fact stood that this man was blind, but now he can see. That's proof, folks. It seemed that the sight given to the blind man revealed a blindness of those of the religious order that day. It seemed that they preferred and actually were perfectly content with the blind man remaining sightless throughout his life. But that was a selfish position made by people who had never been blind. People who've never been there can tolerate it. But spend one day in blindness and you'll find out that it's not as lightly as you think it is. Instead of feeling joy and relief and compassion for the blind man, the Pharisees made him an object as they continued their relentless agenda of denying the deity of Christ. See, spiritual blindness is prevalent but unnoticed by those who are stricken with it. There are a lot of people out there who are spiritually blind, and they don't even know that they're blind. But Paul speaks of that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians 4 and 3, Paul says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That tells me that the gospel is available to anybody and to everybody. And the only ones who can't get it are the ones who won't, not can't, but won't see it. There are so many reasons that a Christian should feel the fullness of life that the world knows nothing about. The things that a Christian should know about the promises of God should lighten the burdens of the daily problems that most people face day to day. See, the scariest situation for most of us in our day is that we don't know what tomorrow holds. But God never loses sight of us, so it doesn't matter. Because we don't have to worry about tomorrow. He holds tomorrow in His hand. No matter what our life circumstances may be, God is mindful of us. It's never too big for Him. There are never going to be too many people for God to notice you. God is mindful of every person. The psalmist tells us in Psalms chapter 37, beginning at verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful, and lendeth his seed, and his seed is blessed. And so I will come to a conclusion by asking a few questions. And these questions are personal, and they're directed to each individual, because I think every individual needs to answer these questions for themselves. First question is your life scattered, pressurized, and uncertain? You know, that's the way it gets when we start chasing the pipe dreams of the world. Is your life absent of true joy because the demands of life won't let you lift up your eyes toward the hills from which your help comes? Are you simply frightened of the prospects of what tomorrow brings? Are you frightened about the well-being of your children and your other loved ones? Then I challenge you to put your fears aside and put God first and see what happens. I challenge you to purge yourself of the spiritual blindness that goes along with the carnality of the world and deliberately and purposefully let God be the dominant influence in your life. Expose yourself to God's promise and His word, and He will guide you to an abundant life that you never even knew existed. I warn you, though, there'll be some things that you thought you wanted to do, you won't get done, and that's to your credit. But they'll be replaced by something that will be much more fulfilling. It's a trade-off. And most of the time, it does not get stated that way. But our choice is simple. We choose God or we choose the world. And if we choose the world, then all the world has for, well, I don't know about y'all, but all the world has ever had for me has been a hard time. Showed me how to get up once it knocks me down. Well, it didn't show me how to get up. It just showed me how to knock me down. The other choice is a life for Christ. A life of abundance. Now, this doesn't sound strange coming from a preacher. You expect me to say that. But let me tell you something. I'm telling you what I know, not what I've heard. When you turn your life to Christ, your life turns around for the better. Things that were once a problem somehow disappear, because they may hang on as long as they can, but eventually they disappear because the abundant life is a gift from God. And no one can prevent you from receiving what God has intended for you. So if you will think about it, I don't have long to be here. 70 is what the Bible says that most of us get, and of course, by reason of strength, 80. Some of us may even live to 90 and older. That's fine. That's still just a blink of an eye. But we have this great dilemma that we face on a daily basis. And that dilemma is, how much of this life do I sacrifice for eternal life? And most of the time, the answer comes back wrong. People don't want to relinquish things of this life in order to have eternal life. And that's the fact that we need to kind of meditate on. Because just like I mentioned, we're at the second half of this year, and don't seem like there was but a day or two ago that we're hollering Happy New Year. Time is passing just like that, just that fast. You don't have to make a decision. The decision will make you. When you don't decide for God, you are, by default, you've decided for the world. And so what I said when we began, our reason for being here is to offer an abundant life, not a abundant, but the abundant life that comes with the promise of Jesus Christ. That that abundant life comes with a reckoning, a moment of reckoning. You've got to decide that, okay, I have chosen which path. I know I cannot walk down both paths, and I've chosen to follow Jesus. Today we're asking you to make that decision. Follow him. Come to the Lord, hearing his word, believing that God is a reward of them to diligently seek him. Repent of your sin. Confess Jesus Christ to be God's son. Put him on in baptism for the remission of sin, and God will add you to his church. Why is that important? That's the only place that the promise exists. The promise of an abundant life, the promise of eternal life, is only offered in the Lord's church. If you're a Christian and you've not lived as you should, then we're going to ask you to realize that you might have gotten away with. Brother Grimes didn't see you. Neither did any of the other brothers and sisters in Folk Street. You may have gotten away clean as far as we're concerned, but you got guilt that you and God know about. That's only two people that need to know. That's important too. If you're guilty of sin, then you ask God's forgiveness and he will forgive you, and you'll be justified. What does justified mean? Justified, never done it. Justified, never done it. If you had other concerns, and there's a lot to pray about, we prayed some this morning, but we haven't run out of prayers. We'll pray for you right now for the things that's concerning you. If there are issues that you need to take to the Lord, let us pray with you and for you, and God will hear us. And if you're subject to the Savior's invitation, why don't you come right now as we stand and sing our invitational song.